Good morning, everybody. This is Lizzie and Justin, and we are here live on Facebook this morning. And you might be listening on a podcast, you might be listening on Clubhouse, you might be listening on YouTube, even all these different places. And you're very welcome here with us. We have a wonderful source that Justin has chosen today. And as usual, we are always completely delighted to be doing this. And it is a deeply welcome practice in the week for us. So you're very welcome. And Justin, maybe you can talk us. Well, we both know Maya Stein and how extraordinary her poetry is, and how glad I am to see one of her poems here. Maybe you can introduce us to this wonderful source.
I will do. And Lizzie, I think you might need to move your microphone even a little closer to your mouth to just have good volume.
That better now?
It's about the same. Okay, we'll sort it out in
I can move.
post-production.
I
Oh,
could hold
that's
my.
much better.
I'll hold it to my face.
Okay, excellent. So good morning, everybody, and welcome as well. I'm really pleased to be here. And so our source this week, as you said, Lizzie, is a poem by Maya Stein. Maya is someone who I've come to know a little bit over recent weeks because we brought a poem of Maya's here a few months ago, which has been a great delight. And Maya has this extraordinary practice that I feel in great admiration of writing a 10-line poem every week without fail, which reminds me of our practice of meeting every week. There's one way in which we could just have a Maya poem every week, although of course there are so many other sources. But Maya's poem this week, Press Play, which, if you're listening, you can always find on our Facebook, in our Facebook group, or on the posts that go out with the podcasts, or on our very lovely Turning Towards Dot Life website if you're listening to a recording, watching a recording later. Lizzie, this poem landed in my inbox this week, and it really awoke something in me. It spoke to something that felt very live in me and in my life, and it touched me very deeply. And my sense was it's very often something for all of us, this. So that's how come this is here, and we'll see together what reading this and being in conversation about it brings. So it's a poem called Le Plas no, Press Play, and you can find Maya's work at Maya Stein, STEIN.com. Listen, friend, this isn't a poker game, some thick smoked room to keep your cards hidden until the final ante. This isn't the stage rehearsal where you skip the high notes to save your voice, or those practice runs in the parking lot with a map of orange cones guiding you into reverse and parallel. Yes, the tide will keep going out and back like clockwork. We will always look to measure and mete out our efforts in incremental intervals, testing the recipe of our purpose, licking our fingers clean. We will want to glimpse what is too much or not enough without the sacrifice of embarrassment, or worse, the fallen souffle of failure. But my goodness, the songs we could be singing while the light takes its own sweet time to change, the dust we could be kicking up as the dance finds us on inexpert legs, spilling out the door and into the waiting streets.
Listen, friend, this isn't a poker game, some thick smoked room to keep your cards hidden until the final ante. This isn't the stage rehearsal where you skip the high notes or save your voice. All those practice runs in the parking lot with a map of orange cones guiding you into reverse and parallel. Yes, the tide will keep going out and back like clockwork. We will always look to measure and mete out our efforts in incremental intervals, testing the recipe of our purpose, licking our fingers clean. We will want to glimpse what is too much or not enough without the sacrifice of embarrassment, or worse, the fallen souffle of failure. But my goodness, the songs we could be singing while the light takes its own sweet time to change, the dust we could be kicking up as the dance finds us on inexpert legs, spilling out the door and into the waiting streets.
Thanks, Lizzie, for reading that. So I knew that I wanted to bring this to our conversation when I got to the line, "My goodness, the songs we could be singing, while the light takes its own sweet time to change." The impact of me, of that line, I suppose in the afterglow of what Maya has said before about all the ways that we wait and hold ourselves back. And imagine there'll be another time. Lizzie, it hit me so deeply with a kind of mixture of all kinds of things, tenderness and grief at all the ways in my life I have not yet sung the songs I could be singing, we could be singing, while the light takes its own sweet time to change, and longing for that. And it got me wondering, this really strong, heartfelt feeling of grief and longing, and also gladness at what we could get up to, had me wonder about what it is really that has us hold back. Because those lines are so, they seem to me, they go straight to my own heart. I want to say to them, and I find myself saying to them, yes, I want to sing. I want to dance on inexpert legs and spill out of the door into the streets. I long for it. And there are parts of me that work really, really hard to have that not be the case. And I want to honour the parts that work really hard to have that not be the case, and be really curious about them as well. Mm. And Maya's done something with this poem that it reminds me, there are a couple of poems also by the poet Mary Oliver, which do the same thing, where she says, "Wake up. This isn't a rehearsal. There is this is your life. This is not the preparation for some other life that somehow you're going to get to lead because you practiced in this one. Wake up. This isn't," I'm going to quote Maya again, "this isn't the stage rehearsal where you skip the high notes to save your voice." Mm. And a very dear friend of mine, who you also know, Lizzie, said to me recently, "Do we want to live a life?" She said it to me. She said, "Do you want," was also very sharp and wonderful, "do you want to live a life where you feel safe? Or do you want to live a life where you get to bring everything you have to bring, whatever happens from bringing it, and light up and maybe even burn up in the glow of what you bring?" And again, saying those touches me so deeply. And last thing to say for now is, I think there's no way of talking about this topic without talking about shame and fear and embarrassment and brokenness and aloneness and all the things that we come into contact with when we even imagine letting into the world the gifts that we surely all have to bring.
Oh, it's very beautiful to listen, Justin. And somehow the poem and what you're saying is opening up this feeling in me of kind of two tracks of existence. You know, the part of me thinks I'm going to live forever, and this is all, you know, this part of me does think, oh, this is just practice run for the thing that's going to happen one day. You know, there's going to be some grand finale or something that happens that's going to be the thing. You know, I have that in all kinds of ways. Like, I remember multiple times kind of going for a run or something and thinking, oh, someone's going to spot me. You know, someone's going to go, oh, we've been waiting for you. When I hadn't even said anything or done anything special and was bedraggled on the side, on the pavement, doing a running. And I think it's this thing of like, something's going to come. Something's going to come and save me. Something's going to come and happen. And it's not going to be out of my making. It's just going to be something. And I feel like that's a kind of, I don't know where that comes from, but it seems to be there. But I feel like this poem allows me to let that be there. And the big, a big, huge and of like, and what if we just took one step now to do the thing, or to be the thing, to be the way we wanted to be? And that can carry on, that kind of the, you know, the practice run in the parking lot with the cones out. Like that part of me can still be here, but I don't have to think that that's what my life is in its totality. So I'm feeling this other stream opening up of the kind of risk-taking, doing things that might create the shame and embarrassment, and seeing if I could dedicate myself to that. And the thing that rose really strongly when you were speaking as well, Justin, is when we do take up a new way of being or a different something about our lives, or a creative thing or things we really want to say or do, the relationships that existed before we started doing that can be an affordance for kind of supporting that, but they also can be a kind of source of the shame and embarrassment. And I think that's a really, really strong thing that I'm seeing in my life, is taking a stand for something that's countercultural or doing something that's really important to you that other people might not appreciate or think is important for them. It's such an act of faith. And also, there's something that we have to live in spite of as well, like people saying, oh, that's weird, or you shouldn't be doing that, or is that safe, or whatever the narrative is in the collective. We have to find some other ground to stand on, which is really hard when those people are important to you, or they form your social circles, or they're your family, or whatever. So I'm just noticing the kind of strength and conviction it takes, but also knowing that when you're at the beginning of something, you don't have much strength and much conviction. So to take up what Maya's inviting us into, inside all the social structures in which we exist, I'm just noticing that it's a challenge. And to find people to support us on the invitational side of it rather than the old side of it is a really important part of being able to step into the things that you're speaking about in the way that you're speaking about, so that we feel like there's support at the kind of edginess of taking this kind of action, doing these different practices, taking up a different place in the world than we did before.
I'm appreciating very much, Lizzie, the way that you're bringing other people into this. And I noticed, actually, I think it felt very important to me that in Maya's language in the poem, she says, the songs we could be singing while the light takes its own sweet time for change, the dust we could be kicking up. Because it would be easy to write this poem in a different way, to say, my goodness, the songs you could be singing, the dust you could be picking up. That both the trickiness and the promise of this is to do with, is something to do with relationships, both with other people and relationships between different parts of ourselves. That whenever, I don't think it's only me who feels this way, that this longing for full voice and for full expression, and to wonder about what would it be like to sing, to really sing of my life the song that there is to be sung, that longing always comes along with those parts of me and those relationships in which my singing up with a new voice, having something else to say, expressing myself in a way that I haven't expressed myself before, always comes with those parts and those people who go, whoa, you know, who have a sort of bodily contraction, who feel afraid or ashamed. There are parts of me that get afraid or ashamed when I do that. And there are other people I know who get afraid and ashamed on my behalf, and also on behalf of, you know, when we see somebody step out, I think very often what happens for us is we feel the sort of anticipatory fear and shame we would feel in ourselves if we imagined ourselves doing the same thing.
Yes, yeah.
So we have this sort of inner and surround of very often of a sort of bodily emotional response, which we can feel in people, of contraction to try and stop the thing happening. And it's all very, I don't think it's calculating, or it's one of these things that just happens because of our worries about, will we get cast out, or will that person be cast out, or what will it mean and yeah. What will it mean for me? And because of all of that, so I want to honor that the goodness in all of that is it's our kind of protective nature. Mm. It's we want to keep ourselves and other people safe. Mm. And the cost of it is what doesn't get brought. And the other cost of it is the ways in which there are parts of us, there's the thing that really want to come home and have their voice.
Mm.
So now I'm circling around to what you said, which was where we can, where it's possible, it really helps to have people around us who will say, I see you, come on, I'm here, step in, I'm with you, right through the, and yes, it's going to be strange and wonderful and terrifying all at the same time. And I know that the work, Lizzie, that you and I do is together is, and what we're up to in Third Space is oriented that way, is to meet people and to be the ones who will say, step on in, we're here with you. But what you said also gets me wondering about a couple of things. So how might we, any of us, keep our eyes and hearts open? Because there are people around us who will be that for us if we'll let them, very often, like to spot the ones who.
Yeah.
But the other thing is, it seems to me, is that it calls on us to also be this, you know, just like Maya is being this for us by writing these words and saying, this isn't a rehearsal. This isn't the time to hold your voice back because there's going to be another chance.
Mm.
Yes, I get that we're always going to want to test and hold ourselves back. But what it is to be that, what it takes to be that for other people, which also means to a certain extent being that for ourselves. So, you know, I sort of feel like there's a paradox in here. On the one hand, I want to say we need people around us to be this invitation. On the other hand, the more we can be an invitation to ourselves, the more we have a chance of being an invitation to others as well.
Yeah. I'm feeling really clear with myself in this moment, Justin, of all the ways that I've been the person that wants to protect someone when someone does something that's kind of out of the realms. And I felt like, but if you do that, then this will happen. And maybe you could just do it a little bit less, obviously. Or, you know, I've noticed, so when you said the protective part that's protective of myself is the part that comes forward when other people step out of the acceptability of the creative place that I deem the acceptability or something. When I've hit the edges of that acceptability, I notice a huge big protection comes forward. And so I'm suddenly kind of catapulted into realizing the mechanism in place in other people when it's in response to me doing something. And I'm just kind of honoring that and realizing that, you know, when I see somebody wearing clothes that I think are, I don't know, putting them at risk or something, you know, or someone behaves in a way that I think is too expressive or overly saying too much or something, I can feel myself coming into contact with that place. And I have to say, thankfully, I don't act on it. You know, I wouldn't, in this position in my life now, I think I can honestly say that I wouldn't kind of actively shame someone. There might be some subtle things that came forth, but I think I have enough of a hold on myself to know that my impacts have a big impact on other people, my actions have a big impact on other people. But it's not to say there isn't a psychic impact or a subtle impact or whatever. And I'm feeling real, like a real deepening of the ability to let people be who they're being in this conversation right now, just because you've named that protectiveness and that finding myself gentling towards that protective nature that we all have and accepting that that's what's happening and seeing the goodness in it helps me to say, oh, next time that comes up, I will be able to relax a little bit and trust that someone expressing themselves is no threat. It's something to be met, something to be welcomed, because it can be trusted and we can have faith in expression. So I'm feeling really led into that place in me that can open into difference and open into things that are beyond what I can understand as expression. And also now seeing it as a gift to me, whatever that expression is, it will be in part for me too, to grow and to broaden myself and see different horizons of possibility. So I'm finding a new kind of story about it, of not that I have to get that person back into line to keep them safe, but that I can follow them and say, oh, show me the world you're trying to create. I'm interested. Tell me more. That sounds interesting to me and I'm a bit afraid. Would you help me? So it's so funny because when you were speaking as well, I got myself back into this realm of making requests. So whether I'm the person stepping out or I'm seeing someone else stepping out, in both of those positions, I can make requests. And I can say to people around me, I'm doing something that's boundary, pushing my own boundaries. Would you support me in doing that? Would you be with me in this difficulty? Because I'm doing something that feels like I'm out on a limb. And I would really appreciate your understanding and your support. And likewise, when I'm feeling the response to someone pushing the boundaries in myself, I could also be making requests and saying, would you help me understand what this is like for you, given this is what's like for me? Would you help me? Would you show me more of this world? Would you talk to me more about it so that I can understand this creative place you're living into? Because I'm noticing that I have some fear. Would you help me? It's like in that moment, I can feel the power of those requests and how it connects rather than keeps everyone in their quiet corners doing what they're doing, whether you're the person stepping out or the person witnessing it or supporting it or being frightened.
That's very powerful. There's the requests are a bridge between worlds. And so I realized that earlier on in our conversation, I was coming at this as how do we find the people who will support us? And what you're pointing out is we can invite people to be the people who support us by making good requests. I'm stepping out. I know this might be strange. Will you help me? Will you be alongside me? And then this beautiful other move of when somebody else is stepping beyond the spilling out of the door and into the waiting streets, we can say, please help me understand. I see you're up to something. And that none of that, in fact, what that also might do is it might bring us into more truthful conversation, because sometimes we see people stepping out and we do have legitimate concerns. You know, Lizzie, I can see you're taking up free climbing 3,000 foot high cliffs with no ropes. I'm worried. But can that come from meeting the meeting between us, the meeting of the otherness of the other person, the difference with the other person? Can it come from a truthful and sincere meeting? Which comes from, I want to support you in the unfolding of your life. And I'm also frightened. And here's what I'm frightened about. Will you talk to me about it? And to be prepared to be influenced, to mutually influence one another, which is different from, let me just go, and contract and try to stifle you. or stifle myself, which is never going to, is never actually going to work out, partly because what it does is it, that's how we end up in the mutual, you know, the individual and mutual stifling of one another, because everything feels too unsafe to even talk about. And I was really struck by something you said about difference, which is that part of what stops what Maya is inviting from happening is our intolerance of our inability, inability is completely the wrong way of saying it, that how difficult it is for us to allow for difference in ourselves and difference between us and other people. If you step out and then you're not the same as the familiar way I know me and I know you, somehow you're a threat to the familiarity. And what's really called on here is honoring the difference, the otherness of others. Is for me to be able to go, okay, Lizzie, you are other than me. Can I come to know your otherness, even though we share so much? Can I come to know your otherness and be curious and interested in your otherness and be supportive of your otherness? And then, as you've invited us into, be in dialogue with your otherness, to wonder about it and to show you my otherness, so that we might affect one another without trying to imprison one another. And so I think that this is a conversation about, it's about diversity. It's a conversation about how much otherness in ourselves and others can we include without see, the thing I'm trying to get at is, that was inspired by you, without going, oh, I'll just sort of turn away, you go and do your thing, I'll ignore you, that's my way of dealing with your difference. Mm-hmm. Instead going, I want to be in relationship with you, and you in relationship with me, whilst we both step into the expression of our otherness from one another.
Yes.
That's what we have to be able to do in order to be able to do what Maya's calling for.
It's such a beautiful way of talking about difference and diversity and inclusiveness in ourselves. I'm feeling the invitation so strongly right now is to allow ourselves to cultivate an interest and a curiosity when we're feeling the feeling of protection. Like allowing the trigger of protection to be the signal to get more curious. And to also hold a story about myself that I can always open to more. I can feel the truth of that, of a being. Is that the lines I put around me, the distinctions I make about what I am and what I'm not, they're made up. I mean, they have good reason and they're valid and all the things, but they are penetrable. They are shiftable. I can bring my conscious intention to letting them soften. I can say to myself, I'm gonna, even if it's excruciating, I'm gonna ask you a question about this. Even if I don't wanna know, because part of me feels too protective or too different, I can eke out a question of, I'm afraid, can you help me? This is difficult territory for me, and I really have the intention to extend into this place with you. Can you tell me more? I'm feeling the hopefulness of that, and the truth that I feel in myself of, I'm not the set of things that I have taken myself to be. I'm most probably much wider than that, and most probably much more diverse in myself than I've given myself permission to be right now. I think all of us could probably say that we are infinitely more malleable, more changeable than our habits would lead us to believe about ourselves. And so to have these practices of asking into other people's worlds and getting curious and believing that we are capable of differentness, that we could hang out in someone else's world and that it's not a threat to me is true. I can be the way I am and I can say, I'm happy to stand in that world with you and wonder what that's like. Tell me what it is to be this artistry. Tell me what it is to dress this way. Tell me what it is. You know, sometimes I'd like people to say to me, tell me what it's like to breastfeed your child, rather than all of the things they already think about that have cultural norm in them. You know, and I feel like anyone who's on the margins, it would be such a welcome change than feeling the marginalizedness. Marginalized meaning not part of a dominant cultural aspect of us. I'm just feeling in my marginalization how welcome it would be if someone turned towards me and said, tell me more about that thing. I said, oh, great. I can tell you loads because this is the world I live in. And so what if we can be that for each other, where I can say, Justin, tell me more about that stuff that you do that I don't understand. I've got no clue how you write software, for example. Could you tell me some things about that? What's it like for you when you do it? And what does it feel like? And how come it interests you? You know, I can feel already the kind of aliveness in those questions rather than, oh God, I don't understand about that. I'm just going to keep quiet because I don't really get it. And I can feel the delight as well in joining in someone else's world, whether it's their religion or their cultural heritage or their race or their, you know, just finding this curiosity and vulnerability at the same time to say, I'm interested. And I might also be afraid, but I am interested.
Such a beautiful place to end, Lizzie, on this way that you're talking to us, to me, to us, about the kind of curiosity and genuine interest we might bring. I want to say back what I think you said, that when we encounter someone, anyone, whose world is other than ours, which of course is going to be everyone else we know in the world, that one of the most powerful things we can do in support of everyone getting to step in and sing as the light takes its own sweet time to change is to begin with, what's it like for you? What's it like for you to breastfeed your child? What's it like for you to do software development? And I was also thinking about, what's it like for you to be ill in the way that you are ill now? Mm. What's it like for you to be grieving in the way that you're grieving now? What's it like for you to have taken up this new position in the world that frightens and excites you? What's it like to be a woman for you? What's it like to be a man? What's it like to have the color skin that you have? What's it like to be the age that you are? What's it like to be in the financial situation you find yourself in? What you drew our attention to was the difference between that and, I don't understand that world, I don't even know where to begin. And how that question can welcome not only the parts of other people to step forward, but also the parts of us. That's what I can feel as you're speaking, is that also invites the that of me that would hold on very tightly and try to get everything to be the same as me to relax, yeah, and feel safe enough to be opened and changed by our encounter with one another. So that's just excellent. I'm so glad to have ended up here. And it's time for us to end. So I want to say thank you to you, Lizzie. Thank you to everyone who's with us live on Facebook. Everyone who's with us live this morning on Clubhouse. To all of you who are listening on our podcast and on Instagram and on YouTube and on our website, thank you so much for being with us. And we will be back, all being well, same time next week for something that you're going to bring our way, Lizzie.
Thank you, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye, everyone.